First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 13. Before we go to the Word of God, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning to ask for wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our midst this morning. I pray that you put words in my mouth. I pray that you help me to say what I need to say. So I pray that you help me to preach what you want me to preach. So I pray that you help me with the language that I will speak in a way that your people understand this morning. I pray that you take away things that hinder us from concentrating and listen to the Word of God this morning. I pray for those who here this morning that does not know you as a personal Savior, they have no relationship with you. I pray that this morning will be the morning that they will make that decision. Father, I pray that you hide me behind your cross and it yourself revealed to your people this morning. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. If you stand with me, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 1 to verse 13. I'm going to read one verse before we look at our message this morning. Verse 13 said, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it." Maybe see that. Message this morning, I've been looking at this, and this is a message I preached yesterday. I'm going to preach again. I had a chance to preach again here in our church this morning. I preached to the church in New Zealand yesterday. But I entitled this message, Trials is the Way to Triumph. Trials is a way to triumph. We're all facing trials in our lives. But we're expecting something much bigger and much beauty after trials. You know, there's so many times that we don't like trials in our life. And you know, a lot of people try to avoid trials. And you know, when you avoid trials, you get somewhere else and you face the same trials. It is better to avoid, it's better to overcome the trials and facing trials than avoid trials. So that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And we are actually, of course, we're going to go to verse 1 of that chapter. The verse 1 said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Corinthians, or the word church in Corinth. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth. The church believed is a mixture of the Jews and Gentiles. According to the book of Acts of the Apostle, Paul went to the city of Corinth in his second missionary journey. And as you see the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was up in Macedonia. And when he came down, something riot happened there in Macedonia. The Apostle Paul came down to Athens. And to Athens, he was waiting for Timothy and Silvanus to meet with him. He went to Corinth. And that's where he started. We believe that that's where the church of Corinth started. And if you look at chapter 18 of the book of Acts, and verse 5, it said, "When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed with the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when he opposed himself and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." So it's not only that he's talking to the Gentiles, but also he's talking to the Jews. So the church, the beauty of a church is It's assembly of baptized believers. It's not only one nation. It's not only one ethnic groups. It's an assembly of baptized believers from every ethnic groups come together to worship God. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking to. He's talking to these people, the Corinthians. It's a mixed people in that church, the Gentiles and the Jews. And he said in verse 18, and when they opposed themselves, when Paul tried to witness to the Jews and they opposed him, he said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Verse 7, and said, he departed thence and entered to a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So this is the purpose of a church. It's to reaching people for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew that the Jews are not going to listen to his message. And he said he turned around and preached to the Gentiles. He went to Crispus. He went to Salvanus. So tried to Crispus and went to a house of justice. And as Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he said, there is no temptation taken. Verse 1 of chapter 10, he said, moreover, brethren, he's talking about brethren. The word brethren means brothers. Moreover, brethren, he's talking to the church, but also he's using the Old Testament. Moreover, brethren, I will not that he should ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. He's talking about Moses. The first thing I want to look at and I want you to know here in this passage of Scripture is you have to remember God's plan. You have to remember God's plan. When you go through trials, you have to remember God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for all of our lives. He knows that we are all God's children. God knows his children. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are a saved person. You are baptized and added to a church. You are the Apostle Paul is talking to you this morning. He said, moreover, brethren, I would not that he should be ignorant. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore what God said. He said, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea. Yes, we believe Christ, therefore we are one body. The Apostle Paul talking to the church, but also is talking to us. Don't forget what God has done for your life. Don't forget what God has done to Moses. As the children of Israel came out of Egypt, do you know what? They didn't come out as just the Israelites. Do you know that a lot of Egyptians came out? That's why they got caused a lot of problems in the wilderness, because of the mixed multitude. People that came out of Egypt are not only Israelites, they come with the Egyptians. And you know what? When they came to the Red Sea, God did not stand there and he said, nope. Okay, listen to me. I'm going to separate you. Israelites on this side or Egyptians on this side. No, he didn't. He let them go through. Why? Because God's love. The plan of God is always love. Right from the beginning, God created man and a woman. He always loved us. He said, moreover, brethren, I will not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and we all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And he said, God is God of love. He accepts anyone. Is that what John 3:16 said?
Yes,
for God so loved the world.
Right.
He didn't say for God so loved Israel. He said for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. God wants everyone to go to heaven. Hell was not created for us. Hell was not created for any man. He created for the angel, or the Satan and his angels, fallen angels. He was not created for us. God's love us so much, he gave his only begotten son. You know, I have got one son. I don't think I can give him up. Even that he's rebellious, I will not give him up. You know, I'd rather keep him. But you know what? God loved us so much that he gave his son. That's what the Apostle Paul tried to convey to the Corinthians. He said, Corinthians, remember the love of God. He didn't separate you. Remember, you Gentiles, he's speaking to a mixed multitude in the church. Remember the love of God. That love of God is only applied everywhere in the Bible. You look at the book of Ruth. Ruth from Samorbite. She's a Gentile woman. She came to know the Lord and trust in God. And she said to Naomi, my God is your God. Amen. She admitted that she needed God. Tamar, one of the Canaanite women, wife of Judah, she's a Canaanite. Rahab was a woman of Jericho that believed God and said, we heard when you crossed the Red Sea, our heart melted. What it tells us? It tells us that she believed in the God of Israel. You know, those three women is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where Gentiles, when they put in their faith in Jesus Christ, God's love is for everyone. And that's why Calvinist is wrong. Because God so loved the world that he gave whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not only that, we see here that the Apostle Paul said, remember God's plan. He also remember God's provision. He said, remember God's provision in verse 3 and verse 4. He said, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. God provided their needs while they were in the wilderness. Even though they were rebellious and murmuring, when the things were not going according to what they want, God fed them for 40 years. Think about families are struggling now since the cost of living goes up. You know, they struggle to put food on the table, struggle to do anything. They struggle to pay their electric bill, their water bill, their gas bill. God's simple plan, they give them manna and water. Isn't that a good diet? Manna and water. For 40 years, they eat manna and drink water. I think that's a good diet. And they said their shoes was not worn out. It solved that problem. You would look for a pair of shoes. If you eat right, you know, I'm not saying this, but you know, I was looking at what God did to the children of Israel, the diet that he gave them for 40 years. I told my wife, as we start leaving to go to the field, she started looking at what we're going to make to eat. And I said, I don't care what I eat. I'm a missionary. Where you lead me, I will follow. What you feed me, I will swallow. You know, but you know what? The thing is, I told my wife, I said, whatever you cook, it's good and healthy. I can eat that every day. As long as it's healthy and good. I don't want to look at all the varieties of food. You know, that's what makes me sick. You know, because it's, when she cook a lot of varieties of food, I will crave for more. God provide a diet for the children of Israel for 40 years. You know, we have all sort of diets, lose weight and program, weight programs, but God gave the best diet for the children of Israel for 40 years, and they were healthy and strong. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5 says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and shoes is not waxing old upon your feet." Can you imagine the shoes that they wear that night after the Passover? They left sackcloth and went down to the Red Sea. And those shoes, same shoes that they walk on the first surface of the Red Sea, the same shoes that they walk, they cross Jordan River after 40 years. Can you imagine that? God provide for them. That's what the Apostle Paul said here. He said, "Church, remember God's love, God's plan, love for everyone." Not only that, but God told him, not only remember God's plan, remember God's provision. God provide our needs. Bible says, Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, Philippians 4:19 said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." God provides our needs. We look at the world and all the things that they gave, but you know what? Everything that the world provides comes from the grace of God. God gave us those things. Without God, you don't have a breath. Without God, hold our world where it is, you're all going to die. God provides all our needs. So not only God, the Apostle Paul said, remember God's plan. Also remember God's provision. But also he said, remember God's punishment. Yeah. There are good things that God gave us. But you know what? God is God of love. But God does not like wickedness. And he said here in verse 7, he said, "Neither be idolaters." Verse 5, he said, "But with many of them God was not well pleased for. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Remember God's punishment. Verse 7 said, "Neither he be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and played." This portion of scriptures come from the book of Exodus chapter 32, when Moses went up to the mountains to take 10 commandments. And God told Moses that the children of Israel turned themselves against you and your leadership. I want you to get down. When Moses came down, Aaron made a golden calf and let the children of Israel worship. We pick up in verse 5 of Exodus 32 and said, "When Aaron saw it, he peeled the altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and play." This is what the Apostle Paul said. This is what happened. Remember the punishment of God. God is love. God provides for your needs. But you have to know that God is God of judgment. He gave us judgment. If you turn away from his plan and his provision, remember God's plan. Remember God's punishment. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.'" Not only that, number one thing the Apostle Paul warned them about Another thing, number two, verse 8, said, neither let us commit fornication, and some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000 people. It's recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 1. When the children of Israel commit adultery with the Midianites and the Moabites, and God killed 23,000 people. Remember, you know, a lot of times when we get out of the way, sometimes I evaluate my life. I see something that's wrong, and I have to look back where I start that bend. So I have to go back and try to redirect myself to the right path. And I think everybody should do that. When you know that you're on a wrong path, you go back where you start that pent, and you start evaluate what blessing that you lose when you take that path. God said, remember. Paul said, remember God's judgment. And number three here, and finally verse 9, he said, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpent, which is in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. One of the plagues that they have in the wilderness, they were bitten by serpent. And God said to Moses, I want you to build a serpent and put it on a stick. If there's anybody bitten by serpent, when they look down, when they look up to God, or look up to that serpent, they will heal. But you know what? That's the problem we have today. How can you look at something that's not alive? What are the alive things? Wiggle around with legs. Who's going to look at these things around there? If we have serpent here in our auditorium this morning, and it's wiggle around your feet, do you look at what God said? And that's the problem, because they're looking at all these things. It doesn't matter if he's dead, but that's what God said. God said, make a serpent, put on a tree. If anybody bitten by a snake, when they look at that serpent, they will be healed. But you know how many people died there? There's a lot. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Remember. Remember his punishment. Not only remember his plan, remember his provision, but also remember his punishment. God is God of love. But if we get out of the way, we are facing punishment. Neither murmured he, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So not only that we remember God's plan, remember God's provision, also remember God's punishment, but also verse 11 said, remember God's pardon for sin. Remember what God, perfect love, is pardoned for sin. It said verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. This thing keep turning off. So now these things happen unto them for ensamples that were written for an admonition upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I look at the word ensamble there. It says in a Greek word it means to struck. Shape. The other meaning is mean the scar. It's a scar. You know, sin is a boil is like a sin. You know, it will heal, but it will leave the scar. A lot of times we do things that's not good. We leave a scar. And that's what he's talking about. These things happen for ensembles. No, I was driving a taxi when I was in Auckland, New Zealand. I drove a taxi from Western Auckland to South Auckland that morning. I was on the run. God called me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. So I finished the work, and I was driving the taxi and all the way from the highway to Western Auckland to South Auckland that morning. Didn't make it home. Had an accident. I slipped on the wheel, hit the back barrier and hit the inside barrier 3 times and turned the taxi upside down about 3 times, rolling on the highway. I woke up. There's a fireman everywhere. The police car there. The ambulance. And people, you can see the side of the highway. People are just peeping from the fence and looking at, see how the ambulance people will take this dead body out of the vehicle. I get out of that vehicle, kick the door, came out, and I look at those people. I feel like waving like a NASCAR coming out, but I didn't. But I told God that morning, God, you got me. I want to serve you.
Amen.
I want to go back. You know what? I had a scar on my finger. That's the only thing that I had in the accident. Every time I look at this scar, it reminds me. This is what I did when I run away from God. And I always look at these things. There are times of temptation. There are times that the devil tried to get you out of the way. I look at the scar. My son, we went to visit my sisters in Samoa, and he was about 5 years old. He went there, and we were up on the steps and going in the house, and I heard the yelling. Looked down, he was dragging by 2 dogs, dragging his feet. He's got big guts on his. Came back, took him to the hospital. He was down for about several weeks. Tried to heal the wounds, big bites on his legs. And, you know, it heals. The pains go away, but the scar is still there. And I told him, those scars tells you, don't tease a strange dog. Because that's what he did. You know, our sin will find you out. Will find us out. You know, he will never tease the dog. Every time that he go to a strange, you know, he walk away because it leaves the scar. And that's what the Apostle Paul said here to the Church of Corinthians. He said, what the Apostle said is took the scar, you know, take that scar, look at it. It is an admonition for us. You see what happened in the past. You see how good God is. He helped us. He take us through. How does His provision? He feed us. He gave us water. He gave us to a life. But also God gave us a judgment. But also in that, God wants us to learn from the mistakes. It brings us not only remember God's plan, remember God's provision, remember God's punishment, remember God's pardon for sin. But it gives us the last point this morning is remember God's promise. Remember His promise. He said in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as are common to man. But God is faithful, who is not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. Temptation is common unto man. I told my son, I'm 60 years old. He's only 14 years old. I said, I have 46 years between us. I got 46 years experience. You better listen to me what I tell you to do. Because if you not listen to me, you will go through some tough time. I went through a lot of tough times. He has to listen to me. There are things in our lives that are taking us down if we're not be careful. You know, God used those trials in our lives to make us become perfect, become mature. In Hebrew chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation or the way you live be without covetousness, but be content with such things that he had. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave us. He said in the commission, you know, when Jesus gave that commission, Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the world. Temptation thing, yeah, it comes in our lives. Trials. But Jesus said, I will be with thee. Every time that we're looking at his provision, we're looking at his plan, we look at his punishment, his pardon, let's remind us, God has a purpose for all those things. He's there for us. God did not remove the Red Sea. He let the children of Israel went through the Red Sea.
Amen.
God did not remove the storm. He let the disciples went through the storm. Why? Because God wants them to learn. Jesus wants them to learn something. Because out of that storm, it will be calm. There are storms in our lives that we cannot avoid. But God wants us to overcome those storms, those feelings, all those trials, that we become like him. God didn't remove trials. Let me finish with this story. Story of a man by the name of Charles Wakel. Charles Wakel was an evangelist. One day after preaching a gospel crusade, he came home to find a note from his wife. She did not care for the life she had. She led because of being an evangelist's wife, and she was leaving him. The next few years were a time of despair for Wakel. He even wondered if anyone really cared for him. After time, his faith was again restored, and After the time, his faith was again restored, and he became active for the Lord again. During this time, he wanted to put to paper a song that would share the feeling he had experienced. Well, during his despondent days, from his heart came the words of the tune, and the words and a tune for this hymn. So this is the hymn he wrote. He said, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found him a friend so strong and true, I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend can do. So no one ever cares for me like Jesus.
Amen.
There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin, darkness from me. How much he cares for me. Said, all my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. And my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong arms about me. And he led me in the way I ought to go. He said, no one ever cares for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Amen.
You know, every struggle in life, every trials that we go through, God has a plan to bring us to triumph. Trials is common to every man. Temptation is common. But God wants you to go through that so you can see the beauty of God and the majestic God that we worship. God cares for you this morning. If you are going through some trials today, let me remind you, He cares for you. If you don't know Christ, and no knowledge of Him, no relationship with Him this morning, you can make that decision this morning. I don't know what trials you're struggling with this morning, but God's Almighty knows that someone knows, so He or she can help you this morning. There is no temptation taking you but such as common unto man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that He are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that He may be able to bear it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, make this morning that you can come to Him. Whatever trials you're facing in life, He's there. He's here this morning. He's here to open His hands to you. You can come and pray. You can come and present that to God this morning. God bless you, Pastor.
Man, thank you, Brother Penny. Super. It's terrific. How wonderful it is to know that no one. Oh, I'm sure thankful for my friends. Thank you for thankful for family that love me, care about me, and my church family. But with all that, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Huh? His care is perfect. It's complete. Nothing lacking. Cared about us so much that He sacrificed His own beloved Son, His only begotten Son, so that you and I could be forgiven of sin and have everlasting life. Along the way, and I'm not trying to re-preach Brother Penny's message, but along the way, we can get to thinking and feeling like we've got troubles like nobody else has troubles. Is that right? But there's no temptation taking you but such as is what? Common to man. Huh? Wherever we're at today, there's been others there before us. And God's been there for it all along the way. That promise that Brother Penny quoted from Jesus' promise to us, I will never, we get that? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before you, and I'm so thankful for the Word of God. So thankful for the strengthening of it. Yes, the encouragement, but also, Father, the challenges that is there. Lord, our heart's desire is to live for you, to please you with every fiber of our being. But Lord, I know that you know our very frame. We are weak and we struggle and we battle. And Lord, there's times where we just cling to you with nothing else we can do. And that blessed hope, that encouragement that is ours, that you love us, that you care for us. Your admonition to each and every one of us is that to cast all our care upon you or because you care for us. Lord, I beg you in Jesus' name, meet needs across this auditorium this morning. You brought us together by divine appointment. And it may be there's folks hearing this challenge to our hearts and encouragement as well, that they need that help from Jesus. They need His forgiveness, His cleansing. Oh, Father, please do for that one that even now they might call out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin and receive Him as their Savior. And I'm grateful that Every one of us, every believer in this room has that promise of that blessed hope. Oh Lord, your presence, your help, regardless of the storm, regardless of the times of rejoicing, we have you. Every inch of the way, every step of the way. And so, Father, please liberate hearts to be obedient to you today. Lord, if there is that one here without Christ, might they come as we sing. Might you be pleased to help us show them Jesus. And we will indeed give you glory and honor, for it is, as always, in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Brother Earl.
Number 423.
As we sing, please obey the Lord. Please do what he would instruct you to do today. We're here for you. Pray with you. These altars
are open as always. Open for that time of prayer, that time of seeking. Time of just being honest with God. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a man so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he.
Kind of a missionary day today. We'll have missionary Gary Norberg with us tonight, missionaries to South Africa for many years, and he'll be here this evening to share what's going on in their lives and to pray for, to preach for us, excuse me. So please be back, be in your place this evening. And again, thank you, Brother Penny, for that message. So appreciate that. Please pray for the Fafawinas. Amen. Brother Earl.
All right, we'll sing our chorus for the month. It's number 413 in your hymn book, Love Lifted Me. We'll just sing the chorus.